الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فمعاشر الإخوة في الله، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أبعث لكم بسلامي من مدينة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بجوار مسجده الذي قال الله عز وجل عنه: لمسجد أسس على التقوى من أول يوم أحق أن تقوم فيه. ويقول صلى الله عليه وسلم: صلاة في مسجدي هذا خير من ألف صلاة فيما سواه. ويقول صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا تشد الرحال إلا إلى ثلاث لمساجد: المسجد الحرام ومسجدي هذا والمسجد الأقصى. فمن هنا من مدينة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أحييكم بتحية الإسلام، وأسأل الله عز وجل أن تصلكم هذه المحاضرة وأنتم بخير وعافية، أنتم وأهلكم وزوجاتكم وأبناءكم وبناتكم وجميع المسلمين. وحديثي معاشر الأحبة معكم عن فضل المساجد بيوت الله. لا يخفى عليكم معاشر الأحبة أن الإسلام يقوم على الجماعة، ورتب الله عز وجل الأمور التي يحصل بها الاجتماع.
يا شيخنا الله يحفظكم السرعة، الله يحفظكم
نهدي. نعم
نعم، بالحداوة. جزاك الله خير.
جزاك الله خير يا شيخ. أقول حفظكم الله ورعاكم، الإسلام يقوم على الجماعة، والجماعة معاشر الأحبة تحتاج إلى اجتماع، وتحتاج إلى مكان يجتمع المسلمون فيه. ولذلك رتب الله عز وجل لنا أماكن شريفة يحصل فيها الاجتماع في اليوم خمس مرات، ويحصل فيها اجتماع أسبوعي كذلك في يوم الجمعة، ويحصل كذلك فيها اجتماع سنوي لمن أراد أن يصلي فيها صلاة العيد، وإن كانت السنة أن تصلى صلاة العيد في المصليات خارج البلد، ولكن جوز العلماء للضرورة الصلاة في المساجد. وهذا الاجتماع معاشر الأحبة إضافة إلى أنه عبادة نتقرب إلى الله عز وجل بها، نتقرب إلى الله عز وجل بأداء الصلاة فيها فرضا ونافلة. المؤذن يتقرب إلى الله عز وجل بالأذان، والإمام يتقرب إلى الله عز وجل بالإمامة، والمصلون يتقربون إلى الله عز وجل بالائتمام والصلاة خلف هذا الإمام، ثم الجميع يتقربون إلى الله عز وجل بهذه الأذكار المباركة التي يبدأون بها صلاتهم ويملؤون بها صلاتهم ويقولونها بعد صلاتهم من تكبير وتحميد وتسبيح واستغفار وثناء على الله عز وجل بما هو أهله، وقراءة للقرآن، وصلاة على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. مع هذا الخير كله كما قال الله عز وجل: في بيوت أذن الله أن ترفع ويذكر فيها اسمه يسبح له فيها بالغدو والآصال رجال لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله وإقام الصلاة. مع هذا الخير كله تجد أن المساجد تجمع المسلمين أجسادا وتجمع المسلمين أرواحا وتجمع المسلمين قلوبا، فيحصل في هذه المساجد من التعارف والتآلف والتعاون بين المسلمين الشيء الكثير، فيتعرف طالب العلم على العالم، ويتعرف العالم على حاجة الناس، ويتعرف الجار على جاره، يتعرف الغني على المحتاجين أيه، ويعرف صغار السن كبار السن، فيرحم في هذا المسجد الكبير الصغير، ويوقر الصغير الكبير، ويتنافس الجميع على طاعة الله عز وجل وعبادته، فيتسابقون في الحضور إلى المسجد، ويتسابقون في الصفوف الأولى ويتراصون في الصف. ولكن هناك مسألة مهمة لا بد من بيانها، ألا وهي أن مكانا هذا شأنه ومكانا هذا خيره لا بد من العناية الفائقة به. فإذا أردنا أن نرى أثر هذا المكان المبارك ونرى فضل هذا المكان المبارك ونتعاون على أن يظهر خير هذا المكان المبارك، فلا بد معاشر الأحبة الله أن نعطي هذا المكان حقه من التعظيم والتوقير والعناية. فأول شيء بيّن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، بل بيّن الله عز وجل فضل عمارة المساجد، فقال الله عز وجل: إنما يعمر مساجد الله من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من بنى لله مسجدا ولو كمسحق قطاف بنى له الله بيتا في الجنة. ومسحق القطاف، القطاف طائر معروف، طائر صغير، ومسحق القطاف يعني مكان نزوله، مكان قدميه ومكان لبيبه، وهو لا يتجاوز بضعة سنتيمترات. ومعلوم أنه لم يبني إنسان مسجدا بهذا الحجم الصغير جدا، ولكن هذا للدلالة على فضل عمارة المساجد الحسية، أي بناءها وتنظيفها وتطييبها وجعلها في أفضل الأماكن حتى يتسنى للجميع الوصول إلى هذا المسجد. كذلك من الأمور المهمة معاشر الأحبة العناية بنظافة المسجد ورفع الأوساخ عنه وعدم توسيخه. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: البصاق في المسجد خطيئة وكفارتها دفنها. فلا بد معاشر الأحبة من أن نعتني بها بهذه المساجد، فإنها بيوت الله عز وجل، بنيت لعبادة الله عز وجل وحده لا شريك له، بنيت لذكر الله عز وجل وحده لا شريك له، كما قال سبحانه: وأن المساجد لله فلا تدعوا مع الله أحدا. في العالم الإسلامي معاشر الأحبة في الدول الإسلامية تنفق الملايين على عمارة المساجد وعلى تأسيس المساجد وعلى إنارة المساجد وعلى تكييف المساجد وعلى ترتيب الأئمة والمؤذنين والخطباء والمدرسين والخدم القائمين على نظافة المسجد. ولذلك فإن المسؤولية في كثير من الدول الإسلامية ولا سيما في بلادنا نحو المسجد من الناس قليلة. فنحن الحمد لله في هذه البلاد مساجدنا عامرة وعلى رأسها الحرمان الشريفان، عامرة منارة مكيفة منظفة، قد اعتنت الدولة فيها خير عناية ولله الحمد والمنة، فرتبت لها الأئمة ورتبت لها المؤذنين ورتبت لها المدرسين ورتبت لها الخطباء ورتبت لها المحاضرين ورتبت لها الخدم والمسؤولين عن صيانتها من جهة التكييف والإنارة والماء ونحو ذلك. لكن في بلاد الأقليات المسلمة تتضاعف المسؤولية لأن الدول لا تولي هذه المساجد عناية. ولذلك معاشر الأحبة ينبغي على المسلمين في الدول ذات الأقليات المسلمة العناية الفائقة ببيوت الله عز وجل، فإنها مكان عزهم ومكان اجتماعهم ومكان عبادتهم لله سبحانه وتعالى، بها يتصلون بالله عز وجل، لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يقول إذا حزبه أمر الصلاة الصلاة، وكان صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول جعلت قرة عيني في الصلاة، وأمر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يربى الأبناء الصغار على الصلاة، وأمر أن يؤخذ الأبناء إلى المساجد للصلاة. فعزنا نحن المسلمين وراحة قلوبنا وطمأنينتها بذكر الله عز وجل ولا سيما في هذه المساجد.
يا شيخنا يمكن أترجم ما قلت؟
تفضل يا شيخ.
يعني عشان ما يطول علي الكتابة.
طيب تعيد الاتصال مرة ثانية؟
ايش هو؟
تعيد الاتصال مرة ثانية؟
لا لا ياخذ مني 5 دقائق بس.
تفضل.
الشيخ حفظه الله تعالى began with mentioning خطبة الحاجة. Which is something well known by the brothers and the sisters, where you mention, you praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then you send salams upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and khutbat al-hajah is something well known by the brothers. And then the Shaykh gave his salams to the brothers, and he said, verily, I'm giving my salams from the city of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, besides the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran mentioned, that this is the first masjid that was built upon taqwa. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that it was the first masjid built upon taqwa. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also mentioned that salat in my masjid is better than 1,000 salat in any other masjid except Masjid al-Haram, except the masjid in Mecca. And also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned about the merits of his particular masjid. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, an individual does not struggle to travel to any masjid except 3. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned his masjid and Masjid al-Haram and the masjid which is in Bayt al-Maqdis. Then the Shaykh mentioned, so this is where I am sending my salam. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this sitting, good for us and to give us safety and security in it, and to our families and to our children. Then the Shaykh mentioned, he went into the merits of the masjid, because the talk, as he understood it, should be on the merits of the masjid. And he said, from the merits of the masjid, we should understand that the merits of the masjid is that it is from the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the masjid is from the houses of Allah. And he said, and it is not, na'am. And he said, and everyone knows from the merit of praying in the masjid. Everyone knows from the merit of praying in the masjid, praying in the jama'ah. And he says, and the jama'ah, or the gathering that takes place amongst the Muslims, which is the salat, it needs a place for that particular jama'ah, or that particular unity to take place. And the Muslims gather for the salat, which is a form of unity, and there's no doubt that the unity that the Muslims gather for, it needs a place for them to gather. And he mentioned, and he said, and for that particular gathering that must take place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated that it takes place in, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala legislated that that unity and that gathering takes place in a blessed place. Yani the unity and the gathering that takes place amongst the Muslims, it takes place in a blessed place, and that's the masjid. And he said, and in the masjid you find that the Muslims come together 5 times a day. And you find that the Muslims come together once a week for Salatul Jum'ah. And you find that the Muslims come together once a year for Salatul Eid. And the like of that. Although from the Sunnah, he mentioned, although from the Sunnah, is that the Salatul Eid should take place outside of the masjid. Salatul Eid should take place outside of the masjid, outside of the city, in fact. But the ulama mentioned that it's permissible for the Salatul Eid to take place in the masjid. So he says, other than the fact that this is the unity, the place of unity of the Muslims once a week, and once a, 5 times a day, and once a week, and once a year, you have other things that also inform about the merits of the masjid. And that is, it is a place that an individual seeks closeness and nearness to Allah Azza wa Jal. It is a place that an individual seeks nearness to Allah Azza wa Jal by performing the salat. By performing the salat. Whether that be the obligatory salat, or whether that be the supererogatory salat. And he said, and it is also the place that the muazzin seeks nearness to Allah. There's also the place that the muazzin, the person that calls the azan, he seeks nearness to Allah by calling the azan. And the individual, the imam that leads the prayer, he seeks nearness to Allah by leading the prayer. And the musallun, the people that pray, they are the individuals that seek nearness to Allah Azza wa Jal by praying. So he said all of this takes place in a unity which is the salat behind the imam. Which is the salat behind the imam. And then he said, and you also have other merits that inform of the greatness or the merit of the masjid, and that is, it is a place of the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. It is a place of the remembrance of Allah. And it is a place, and the remembrance of Allah is done before the salat, and it is done during the salat, and it is done after the salat. For example, al-tahleel, when the individuals come to the masjid and they say, La ilaha illallah. And tahmeed, when they say, Alhamdulillah. Wal istighfar, when the individuals seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sana'un ala Allah, yani the individuals praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the recitation of the Quran, and the salat, and other than that. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, Fi buyutin adhinallahu an turfa. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, in the houses that Allah has given permission, in the houses that Allah has given permission to be raised. In the houses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the permission to be raised and built. In these particular houses are men that remember Allah. In these particular houses are men that remember Allah. Then he said, كُلُّ ذَلِكَ He said, all of this is done in the masjid. All of this is done in the masjid. And this type of unity is done in the masjid. The type of unity where it brings the bodies of the Muslims together as well as the hearts of the Muslims. It brings the bodies of the Muslims together as well as the hearts of the Muslims. And another thing that takes place is individuals in the community get to know one another. Individuals get to know one another and they begin to work with one another and assist one another in that which is good. In that which is good. He said the student of knowledge becomes familiar with the scholar. And the scholar becomes familiar with the student. And the people, yani the neighbors in the community, they become familiar with one another. And the elders in the community, they become familiar with the young in the community. He said, and all of them race and compete in good. All of the individuals in the community race and compete in good. They race toward the obedience to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And they race toward the worship of Allah. They all race and encourage one another in that which they attend, which is the masjid. And that which they attend, which is the masjid. And they also race to be in the front rows. They race to be in the front rows and the likes of that. He said, there's an important issue that has to be mentioned. There's an important issue that has to be mentioned. And that is the place and the position of the masjid. The place and the position of the masjid. He said, with all of those things that we've mentioned about the good and the merit of the masjid, there's no doubt that the masjid is a place. Naam. He said, there's no doubt that the masjid. Naam. He said, there's no doubt that the masjid is a place that an individual must give it its right. The masjid is a place that the individual must give it its right. And he said, and from the right, from the first right that must be given to the masjid is the upkeeping of the masjid. Is the preservation and the upkeeping of the masjid. And he said, from that which illustrates that the masjid must be upkept is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّمَا يَعْمُرُ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, verily the individuals that upkeep the masjid are those that believe in Allah and the last day. Verily the individuals that preserve and upkeep the masjid are those that believe in Allah and the last day. And he also said the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever builds a house for Allah, yani a masjid for Allah, Allah will build for him a house in Jannah. Whoever builds, and of course that means to protect and preserve it as well, not just to build it, but whoever builds for Allah a masjid, Allah will build for him a house in Jannah. Even if it be a small area, yani he mentioned the likeness of a landing spot or a landing area that a bird lands on. And he said, of course, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not mean that a person would build a small area, such as an area big enough for a bird. But that which is meant is it's informing of the greatness of building a masjid. It's informing of the greatness of building a masjid. Right. Then the Sheikh mentioned, right. And actually he said, informing of the greatness of building a masjid, yani, and you do it in such a way that the people have access to it. And you do it in such a way that the people have access to it. He said, the second thing that must be mentioned is the preservation of the masjid in terms of cleaning the masjid. And in terms of ridding the masjid from all types of filth and dirt. He said, this is something that is very important with regards to the masjid. And he said, there's no choice, and it is befitting that an individual preserves and cleans the masjid. And he said, verily, he mentioned from the ayat, he said, one of the things that proves this, that the individual is upon him to preserve and to keep the masjid, yani to keep the masjid, yani to upkeep the masjid, is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and verily the masjid are for Allah. And verily the masjid are for Allah, so do not call on other than Allah. So in that particular ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the masjid is for Allah. So if the masjid is for Allah, then what is the case with an individual who takes it upon himself to clean this area, which is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani is designated for the individuals to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, one thing that can be mentioned is in the Islamic countries, in the Islamic countries, the government takes it upon themselves to preserve the masjid. The government takes it upon themselves to preserve the masjid. They appoint individuals and pay individuals to clean the masjid. They pay individuals to be the imams in the masjid. They pay the individuals to do the construction and the likes to the masjid. He said, so this is something that, walillahil hamd, in the lands of the Muslims, we don't have to worry about. He said, but in the land of where the Muslims are the minority, in the lands where the Muslims are the minority, it is upon those individuals and those Muslims that live in those particular places that they take it upon themselves to preserve and to upkeep the masjid. Why? Because it's not like the Muslim lands where the government takes care of those masajid. But you are in the land of the kufar, you are in the land where the Muslims are the minority, so the individual that the upkeep of the masjid falls upon is the people of the community. Fadhu, ya Shaykh.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
فنحن نقول معاشر الأحبة إن على المسلمين في دول الأقليات مسؤولية عظيمة جدا تجاه بيوت الله عز وجل, لأنهم لا يجدون من يعينهم على عمارتها, وهم بهذا ينالون الأجر العظيم. فإن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بين في الحديث أن المتمسك بدينه في زمان الغربة له أجر 50 من الصحابة, فقال الصحابة رضي الله عنهم, أجر 50 منا أو منهم يا رسول الله؟ فقال, بل أجر 50 منكم, أنتم تجدون من يعينكم وهم لا يجدون من يعينهم. فالمسلمون في الأقليات في دول الأقليات لهم بتمسكهم بدينهم أجر عظيم، ويكونون كالغرباء الذين قال عنهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم طوبى للغرباء. فأول أمر يجب عليهم أن يعتنوا به كما قلنا عمارة المسجد والحرص على بناء المسجد في أي مكان نزلوا وفي أي مكان حلوا. يبدأ أولا ببناء المسجد كما فعل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لما قدم المدينة، بنى مسجد قباء لأول وهلة، ثم لما دخل المدينة بادر إلى العناية بأحد الأراضي وتصفيفها وشراء بعضها من أصحابها، وعمرها صلى الله عليه وسلم بنفسه وعمل بيده الشريفة صلى الله عليه وسلم مع أصحابه رضي الله عنهم من المهاجرين والأنصار في عمارة هذا المسجد النبوي المبارك. وهذا كله يدلنا على فضل عمارة المسجد. فمن الشرف للإنسان أن يشترك في عمارة المسجد سواء بيده الصانع بصنعته والمهندس بهندسته أو التاجر بماله وهكذا. فنحن نتعاون أولا على بناء المسجد في كل حي ليكون قاعدة لاجتماعنا وصلاتنا وذكرنا لله عز وجل. ثم لا بد من اجتماع لجعل مجلس لهذا المسجد، وهو أن يجتمع أهل الحل والعقد. نحن مثلا في هذه البلاد المباركة عندنا وزارة للشؤون الإسلامية والأوقاف تقوم بالعناية بالمساجد، فتعين الأئمة الأكفى وتعين المؤذنين الأكفى وتعين الخطباء الأكفى وتعين المدرسين الأكفى. أنتم في بلادكم ما عندكم وزارة للشؤون الإسلامية والمساجد، فلا بد أن تختاروا من أهل الحل والعقد العقلاء طلاب العلم من يكون مسؤولا عن هذا المسجد، فيكون مسؤولا عن العناية بإمام المسجد. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول يؤم القوم أقرأهم لكتاب الله. فهذه المجموعة وهم أهل الحل والعقد في هذا الحي أو في هذا المركز أو في هذه البلدة يختارون أقرأ الناس لتعيينه إماما للمسجد، هذا أولا. فلا يؤم الناس غير هذا الرجل إلا بإذنه، لأن الإمامة عند الفقهاء ولاية شرعية، الإمامة عند الفقهاء ولاية شرعية. فلا يجوز لمسلم أن يؤم الناس وهم له كارهون، ولا يجوز لمسلم أن يؤم أحدا في مسجد قد عين له إمام، إما من ولي أمر المسلمين أو من أهل الحل والعقد. لأننا إذا جوزنا إمامة كل أحد أصبحت الدنيا فوضى، والشاعر يقول لا يصبح الناس فوضى لا سراس لهم، يعني لا يصبح الناس فوضى بدون إمام يجمعهم وقائد يجمعهم. فأهل الحل والعقد يختارون إماما لهذا المسجد يكون مسؤولا عن إقامة الصلاة. هذا الإمام لا بد أن يكون طالب علم حافظا لشيء من كتاب الله تصح به الإمامة، عالما لبعض المسائل الشرعية، حريصا على أن يطور نفسه علميا، حريصا على أن يصلي بالناس صلاة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم متواصلا مع علماء السنة، دائما يسأل ويسأل ويستفتي علماء السنة عن يعني أركان الصلاة وواجباتها وسننها القولية وسننها الفعلية ومبطلات الصلاة والفرق بين صلاة الإمام وصلاة المأموم وما يصح صح به الصلاة وما تبطل به الصلاة ونحوها من الأمور. يختاره أهل الحل والعقد. إذا اختار أهل الحل والعقد منا إماما لا يجوز لأحد أن يأتي ويقول أنا أصلي بالناس، لا تصلي أنت، لا تقول قد اخترنا فلانا، اطرحه قسم جرحك لأهل الحل والعقد، فينظر أهل الحل والعقد في هذا الجرح هل يعني هذا الجرح جرح مفصل فنزيل هذا الإمام ونأتي بإمام آخر، أم أنها مجرد وشاية وحسد لا قيمة له، كما قال الله عز وجل إن جاءكم فاسق بنبأ فتبينوا. كذلك منصب الأذان، الأذان منصب مهم، كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يختار من أصحابه الأمناء أصحاب الصوت الجميل حتى يؤذنوا بالناس، لأن المؤذن لا بد أن يكون أمينا عالما بالوقت، فلا يجوز له أن يؤذن قبل الوقت فيصلي الناس قبل الوقت، ودخول الوقت شرط من شروط الصلاة، أو يمسك الناس في رمضان عن الأكل والشرب بسبب أذانه ولا زال الناس بليل، أو يفطر الناس لأذانه ولا زال الناس في النهار، لا بد أن يكون المؤذن أمينا عالما بأوقات الصلاة الشرعية، عالما بدخول الوقت في بلده، لأن البلدان تتفاوت والظلمة والنور تختلف باختلاف البلدان بعدا وقربا من خط الاستواء، فلا بد أن يكون عالما بهذا كله، وإن كان صوته شجيا نديا يعني جهورا يسمع البعيد فهذا طيب، وإن لم تتوفر هذه الصفة فلا بأس. إذن فالمؤذن مسؤول عن دخول الوقت، لا يجوز لأحد أن ينافسه، إذا اختار أهل الحل والعقد مؤذنا لا ينبغي لنا أن نتنافس فيؤذن أنا وتؤذن أنت، وربما أذن رجلان وربما أذن أحد وأقام أحد، لا ينبغي، لا بد من تنظيم الوقت، التنظيم أشهر عمل، لا بد من تنظيم العمل تنظيما شرعيا حتى نكون في أمورنا كلها منظمين، وحتى نكون إن شاء الله صورة جميلة للتعاون المسلمين، حتى يعرف غير المسلمين أن المسلمين أمة متحابة، أمة مسالمة، أمة متعاونة، يقوم دينهم على التعاون، كما قال تعالى وتعاونوا على البر والتقوى ولا تعاونوا على الإثم والعدوان. ثم إذا يعني أردنا أن ننظم الدروس في المسجد لا بد أن ينظم الدروس كذلك أهل الحل والعقد، فيسمحون لأهل السنة ولطلبة العلم أن يقيموا الدروس حتى ينفعوا الناس وحتى يعلموهم دينهم، ولا ينبغي أن يأتي كل من حب ودب ويتكلم لعله يكون جاهل لعله يكون مبتدع فيضل الناس، كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله لا يقبض العلم انتزاعا ينتزعه من صدور العلماء ولكن يقبضه بموت العلماء، فإذا مات العلماء اتخذ الناس رؤوسا جهالا فسئلوا فأفتوا بغير علم فضلوا وأضلوا. لا، هذا لا يجوز أبدا أن نسمح لكل أحد أن يتكلم، ربما جاء خارجي ربما جاء رافضي ربما جاء مبتدع ضال فيتكلم في المسجد بغير حق فيضل ويضل غيره، إذا لا بد أن تكون للمسجد جماعة أهل حل وعقد يجتمعون فيختارون إماما لا ينبغي لأحد أن ينافسه، وعلى الإمام أن يحتسب أجره عند الله، وعلى الإمام أن يستعين بالله عز وجل في أداء هذه الأمانة، وإذا كان الإمام محتاجا للمال ليس عنده دخل يغنيه لا بد لأهل الحل والعقد أن يتعاونوا معه في أداء بعض مكافأة وليس أجرة، لأن هذه ليس أجرة، الصلاة ليس لها أجرة، وإنما هذه مكافأة ومساعدة له حتى لا يتعطل هو، لأن الناس يحتاجون للمال فلا يتعطل هو في نفسه ولا تتعطل زوجته ولا يتعطل أبناؤه ولا يسأل الناس، فلينبغي لهم أن يجتمعوا وأن يعطوه من حر مالهم طيبة بذلك نفوسهم، لأنه حبس نفسه من صلاة الفجر إلى صلاة العشاء لإمامتهم، والصلاة كما تعرفون شرفها عظيم والإمامة شرفها عظيم، كما قال الله عز وجل والذين يقولون هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. هذه المسألة. والمؤذنون شرفهم عظيم. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أفضل الناس أعلاقا المؤذنون يوم المؤذنون أمر الناس أعلاقا يوم القيامة المؤذنون. والمؤذن يشهد له كل حجر وشجر سمع صوته يشهد له يوم القيامة أنه أذن وأنه شهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله. فيعطى المؤذن من مالنا ما يعف نفسه عن الناس حتى يكون حجره معروف. فإذا نحن نرتب هذه الأمور الثلاثة، نرتب أمر الأذان ونرتب أمر الإمامة ونرتب أمر التدريس، وإن رتبنا كذلك أمر خدمة المسجد من صيانة للكهرباء وصيانة للمال وصيانة للتكييف صيانة للفرش ونحو ذلك، فهذا حسن، هذا كله حسن، حتى بذلك نكون أمة متعاونة قد أديت الذي علينا. وإذا قام كل مسلم بشيء قليل لا يثقل عليه، أما إذا كان الحمل على واحد فقط ربما ثقل عليه. حفظكم الله ورعاكم، يعني هذا حفظكم الله ما يسر الله. أسأل الله عز وجل أن يعينني وإياكم على ذكره وشكره، وأن يجعلني وإياكم هداة مهتدين، وأسأل الله عز وجل أن يعينكم وأن يثبتكم على الهدى، وأن يأجركم وأن يصلحكم ويصلح زوجاتكم وأبنائكم، وأن يجعلكم مباركين حيثما كنتم. وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين.
جزاكم الله خيرا يا شيخ. نحن تريد أن تنتظر حتى أترجم هذا ثم تضيف على الأسئلة أو نتصل بكم؟
والله يعني أنا أحسن تتصلون أحسن الله يحفظكم، يعني أنا خارج البيت أذهب الآن إلى عند البيت الله يحفظكم.
طيب فأنت تريد مني أن أتصل مرة ثانية؟
نعم أحسن.
بعد كم مثلا 10 دقائق كذا؟
يعني كان في أسئلة ضرورية لا بأس تتصل بعد 10 دقائق.
والله هي ضرورية.
أنا 10 دقائق إن شاء الله.
طيب تريد مني أن أتصل بعد 10 دقائق؟
نعم.
خير إن شاء الله، بعد 10 أنا أترجم هذا وبعد 10 دقائق أتصل بك وأجمع الأسئلة وتجيب على الأسئلة بإذن الله.
جزاك الله خير يا أخي.
بارك الله فيك. أتصل على نفس الرقم هذا؟
على نفسي نعم.
خير إن شاء الله.
السلام عليكم.
السلام ورحمة الله. Five, then the Sheikh Habibullah Ta'ala went on to say that it is upon the Muslims in the countries where the Muslims are a minority, is a great responsibility upon those particular Muslims. There's a great responsibility upon those particular Muslims with regards to the masjid. And they should understand that when they perform and when they take it from themselves to keep up with the masajid and to preserve the masjid and to do the affairs that the masjid are in need of, then they get a great reward. They get a great reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Shaykh mentioned a hadith by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to his companions, where he said, verily an individual who is upright in his religion, verily an individual who is upright in his religion during the latter day, yani after the time of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then that individual gets the reward like the reward of 50 of you. And that individual gets reward like the reward of 50 of you. So the companions, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 50 of us or 50 of them? And if they get the reward, those people that come after us, they get the reward of 50 like themselves or 50 like us. And it's the Sahaba. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily they get the reward. Yani the people that come after the death of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they're firm upon their religion, verily they get the reward like 50 from amongst the companions. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued to explain to the Sahaba why. He said, because you, the companions, you have people that assist you. And the things that you have to do, you have people that assist you. And those people don't have individuals that assist them. And those people don't have individuals that assist them. So he says, so there's no doubt that an individual that performs and stands up and fulfills that which he has to fulfill with regards to his obligation or regards to the affairs of the masjid, then that individual has a great reward. That individual has a great reward. And he said, and from the first things, or he mentioned another hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned maytuba, tuba, which is a tree in Jannah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned a tree in Jannah. He said, may this tree in Jannah be for the ghuraba. May this tree in Jannah be for the strangers, yani the people that hold fast to their religion and perform that which they should in their religion when the other people are astray or the other people are in opposition to that which they are upon. Then he mentioned, and from the first offense that can be mentioned, which is something that he's already mentioned, was the preservation of the masjid. And he said, an individual should be haris, or an individual should be diligent in his obligation toward the masjid, in his responsibility toward the masjid. And that is with the preservation of the masjid, keeping up of the masjid, or with building the masjid. Keeping up the masjid, or with building the masjid. And he said the building of the masjid and the preservation of the masjid should take place in every neighborhood. He said this is something that should take place in every neighborhood. Every neighborhood that the Muslim lives in the land of the Kufar, he said every neighborhood that the Muslims live in, they should build a masjid. They should build a masjid. And he said, and this is the first thing that they should concentrate on and give their efforts towards. He said, and the example of that, you have it illustrated in the example of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first time the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made hijrah from Mecca and he went towards Medina, he stopped in Quba and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam built Masjid Quba. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam built Masjid Quba. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went into Medina, and the first thing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam paid attention to and focused on was buying land. Was buying land. Why? Because once he was able to buy the land, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would build his own masjid. And he sallallahu alaihi wasallam built his own masjid with his own blessed hands, with the assistance of his companions. He built his own masjid with his own blessed hand, with the assistance of his companions. He said, so this is a direct proof for us and a clear proof for us of the merits of preserving the masjid and building the masjid. Of preserving the masjid and building the masjid. So he said, so if an individual has the ability, if an individual has the ability to take part in this particular thing, yani the preservation of the masjid, the preservation of the masjid, or the building of the masjid, he should do so. Whether he is the individual that builds the masjid, or whether he is the merchant who is rich, who can fund the building of the masjid, or fund the affairs of the masjid, or the like of that, then this is the type of thing an individual should do. Because the masjid is the place where the unity of the Muslim takes place, the unity of their salat, and the remembrance of Allah, and the like of that. He said, after that is done, after the masjid is built, then another thing that must take place is a gathering has to take place to see who is responsible over the masjid. Yani who is the administration? We call it the administration of the masjid. And he said, and it should be known that the administration of the masjid should be individuals that are trustworthy and responsible. He said, the administration of the masjid should be individuals that are trustworthy and responsible. He said, in the land of the Muslims, you have the Ministry of Islamic Affairs. He said, in the land of the Muslims, you have the Ministry of the Islamic Affairs, or the Ministry of the Islamic Affairs, and they cover the affairs of the masjid. They choose the imams, they choose the mu'adhins, they choose the people, the janitors of the masjid. So it's taken care of, alhamdulillah, in the land of the Muslims. It's something that's taken care of. But in the land of the kufar, in the land where the Muslims are the minority, then the Muslims have to do it themselves. They have to take this sort of responsibility upon themselves. So he says, so that which should be done is that individuals must be chosen from the community. Individuals must be chosen from the community who are people that are trustworthy and responsible. Who are people that are trustworthy and responsible. And these individuals, one of the first things that they have to do is that they have to choose an imam. These individuals, one of the first things that they have to do is that they have to choose an imam. And he said, and one of the things that the individuals should look for when they choose an imam is they choose someone who has the most knowledge of the recitation of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The individual who has the most knowledge of the recitation of the book of Allah, yani the person who has the most Quran. The individual who has the most Quran. And the people, yani the majlis or the idara or the administration of the masjid, they are the ones that choose.
And the people, يعني the majlis or the idara or the administration of the masjid, they are the ones that choose this individual. They are the ones that choose this individual. And the reason why they choose the person who has the most knowledge of the Quran, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the person who has the most right to lead the people is the individual who has the most from the Book of Allah. Is the individual who has the most from the Book of Allah. يعني أقرأهم بكتاب الله. The person who has memorized the most from the Book of Allah. This is the individual that should lead the people of responsibility and of authority. They should choose this individual. And they should not choose other than this individual. They should not choose other than this individual. And he said, and it is not permissible that once the administration of the masjid chooses the individual that they feel is right, and they feel is responsible, and they feel has the right over that position, then it is not permissible for anyone to come and say he's going to lead the prayer other than this individual. It's not permissible that anyone's going to come and say he's going to lead the prayer other than this individual. Because the scholars of the religion, they said the leading of the prayer is a legislated leadership. The leading of the prayer is a legislated leadership. Yani it's something proven by the Book of Allah, something proven by the Book of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's not that you just choose anyone and anyone does it. La, but the leading of the prayer is a legislated leadership. Yani when the individuals of the masjid who are in the administration of the masjid, when they choose the imam of the masjid, now that becomes a legislated position. Now that becomes a legislated position. And it is not permissible for an individual to pray, yani to lead the prayer, when the masjid already has an imam, except with the permission of that imam. And he mentioned, to continue, he said, and the reason why this is something that's legislated is because when individuals don't humble themselves to this, and when individuals don't submit to this, then they cause confusion. Then they cause confusion and turmoil in the masjid and in the life. Then he said, five. So he said, so the people that are responsible, the people of authority in the masjid, they should try their best to choose a student of knowledge. They should try their best, yani for the imam, they should try their best to choose a student of knowledge. An individual that has memorized from the Book of Allah. An individual that has knowledge about the salat. An individual that has knowledge about the salat. An individual who is diligent in making sure that he prays with the people. Yani somebody that doesn't come late. Somebody that's not deficient in his position. And an individual that makes sure that he's on time to, yani he's diligent to make sure he's on time to lead the people in prayer. And he said, and he also said, and another thing, they should try their best to choose an individual who has a relationship and communication with the scholar. An individual who has a relationship and communication with the scholars. Why? So he has the ability to ask the scholars about the pillars of the salat. And if he doesn't understand something, he has the ability to communicate with the scholars. He has the ability to ask the scholars about the salat. He has the ability to ask the scholars about the obligations of the salat. He has the ability to ask the scholars about the things that invalidate the salat and the likes of this. So they should try their best to choose a student of knowledge. And then he said, then he mentioned something that I already mentioned about an individual saying, no, I'm not. He said another thing that should be mentioned is that once the people that have authority and the people that are responsible in the masjid, once they choose an imam for the masjid, it is also not for any other person to say, I won't pray behind him. It is also not for any other person to say, I won't pray behind him. He comes in the masjid and he prays by himself. He refuses to pray with this particular imam. He said, this is also something that's not permissible. Right. Then he mentioned another important affair with regards to the imam of the masjid. And he said, that is, if the people that have authority and have responsibility in the masjid, if those individuals choose the individual that they choose with the things that the Shaykh mentioned previously, and now other individuals want to come and they want to speak badly about this particular imam, he said, that which is upon them is that they don't immediately, you know, overthrow or immediately get rid of the imam. That which is upon the people that are the administration in the masjid, that which is upon them is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِكٌ بِنَبَأٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, if an individual comes to you, if a fasik, an individual who is an open sinner, if he comes to you with some type of speech, if he comes to you with some type of blame, if he comes to you with some type of accusation, then you have to clarify. Then you have to look into it and investigate. He says, so that which is upon the administration of the masjid, if individuals want to talk about the imam of the masjid, who the administration has chosen, then that which is upon the administration of the masjid is they have to investigate and look into these particular accusations. They have to investigate and look into these particular accusations. Are they accusations that have any weight, or are they merely rumors? Are they accusations that have no weight, or are they merely, or are they accusations that have weight, or are they merely rumors? He said another affair, or another thing, responsibility which is upon the administration of the masjid, is they have to choose a muazzin. And they should choose someone who is responsible. An individual that has a distinguished voice. An individual that has knowledge of the time that the salah enters. And has knowledge of the conditions. He said because the time of the salah entering, is a condition for the salah. So it shouldn't be the type of individual that calls the adhan before the salah has come in. It shouldn't be this type of individual. And it shouldn't be the type of individual that tells the people to start eating suhoor in Ramadan when the sun, when Fajr hasn't even come in. And he tells the people you have to stop eating when it's permissible for them to eat. He said it shouldn't be the type of individual that, tells the people to stop start eating at the end of the day and the sun hasn't even set yet. So that which is upon the individual, or that which is upon the administration of the masjid, is that they choose an individual that knows the time of the salawat. He's an individual that knows the time of the salat. When does the salat enter and when does the salat leave? Another thing is that if the individual has a good voice, then it is something recommended. If they can choose an individual that has a distinguished high voice, then it is something recommended. And he said, and it is not permissible. Once again, it is not permissible when the administration chooses this particular muadzin. It is not permissible for individuals to try to compete with him. Individuals to try to argue with him. Once the administration of the masjid has chosen that particular individual that they wish to choose, then it is upon the people of the masjid to submit. And he said, and the reason for this is because we are people that have order. We are people that have order to our religion. We are not people that have confusion. And we are not people that have turmoil and the likes of that in our religion. We are people that have order in our religion. And he said another thing is that when you have this type of confusion and you have this type of turmoil, you allow other individuals who haven't come into Islam, you allow them to get a bad picture about Islam. You allow them to get the bad impression about Islam. They see the Muslims as unorganized. They see the Muslims as separated and ununited and the likes of that. He said, so that's another thing that is upon the administration of the masjid. And of course that falls into the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, and come together, join together in righteousness and piety, and don't join together in sin and transgression. Another thing that the Shaykh mentioned, which is upon the administration of the masjid, is that they have to organize lessons. Learning for the people of the masjid. Right. And he said, and it is not permissible that they allow any and every individual to talk. He said, because if this was to take place, then you might have ignorant people that come to the masjid and want to talk. You might have people that are upon innovation that want to come to the masjid and want to talk. He said, so it is not permissible that they allow anybody, any and everyone to talk. And he said, and you should understand that you have this illustrated in the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the Prophet said, "La, naam, inna Allah la yuqbil al-ilma intiza'an min sudur al-rijal." He said, the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah would not take away the knowledge from the chest of the men. But verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take away the knowledge by the death of the scholar. By the death of the scholar. And then the people that will remain will be ignorant. And they give fatwa, yani people ask them questions, and they lead themselves astray, and they lead other people astray. They lead themselves astray, and they lead other people astray. So he says, so it is not permissible that the administration allows anyone to talk in the masjid. But that which should take place is they choose and they organize individuals that have knowledge, individuals that are known, that they organize these type of individuals to give durus in their masajid. Right. Another thing he closed, further on in his talk, he mentioned, and the imam of the masjid is upon the imam of the masjid to seek his reward from Allah. And the imam of the masjid, he's sincere, he's true in that which he's doing, so he seeks the reward from Allah. Another thing, it is upon the imam of the masjid to seek assistance from Allah, to seek his assistance from Allah. And he said, and if the imam of the masjid is not an individual that has wealth, if the imam of the masjid is not an individual that has wealth, then it is recommended and it is befitting for the administration in the masjid to gather wealth to assist the imam of the masjid in his affairs. To assist the imam of the masjid in his affairs. He said, for verily, and it is not something like a salary. It is not something like a salary, but it's assistance. Why? Because the imam of the masjid, he has taken out of his time and he has taken out of his responsibilities to lead the people in prayer. And to make sure he's in the masjid to lead the people in prayer. So because of that, it is befitting for the community and the administration of the masjid to delegate a portion of wealth for him to take care of his family, and for him to take care of himself, and for him to take care of his children. Why? Because people need wealth. Because people need wealth to live. And he said, as well as the mu'adhin. He said the same thing with regard to the mu'adhin. Yani if the mu'adhin is an individual that has to be in the masjid 5 times a day to call the adhan and to make sure the people know the correct time for the prayer and to give the iqamah, then the same thing. If he is an individual who is in need of wealth, then it should be upon the administration and the people of the masjid to try their best to help these individuals. He said, so these particular affairs that I've mentioned, the adhan and the imam, and the classes in the masjid. And he said, I'm going to add another affair that the administration of the masjid should realize the responsibility, and that is the person that is delegated to clean the masjid. So the administration of the masjid, they're responsible for choosing the imam, and they're responsible for choosing the muazzin, and they're responsible for choosing a teacher, and they're responsible for choosing individuals to upkeep the masjid, whether that's the people that do the construction or the electricity or the water and the carpet and the likes of that. He said all of these affairs, it is upon the administration to take care of. He said, and we should understand that this responsibility should not just be upon one individual. It should not be on the shoulders of one individual. He said, because if it's possible, or it is the case, if it is upon the shoulders of one individual, then it would be too difficult for him. So that which should be done, it should be several individuals in terms of gathering the wealth. He said it should be several individuals that take this responsibility upon their shoulders. Then the Shaykh closed with making dua for himself and for us. And he said, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to assist us and to assist you. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us firm upon our religion and to make you firm upon your religion. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept it from us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it a gathering which is blessed. And then he gave salams to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he mentioned, if there's any questions, I can gather the questions and then I can call him back with the questions.
Naam.
Salaam alaykum wa rahmatullah.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah.
Ma'azirisina sakhiri shaykhina.
This audio file has been downloaded from salafitapes.com. Barakallahu feekum.